This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hi, this is Mary Grady for AvWeb, and today I'm talking with Captain Richard Dan. He's the Director of History and Outreach in charge of the Centennial of Naval Aviation Task Force. So he's going to tell us a little bit about what this centennial is all about and some of the events that are coming up to celebrate this. And Captain, thanks for talking to us today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your time.
Sure. So I guess to start out, why don't you, can you explain to us exactly what the centennial is based on? What exactly happened 100 years ago?
Naval aviation began in May of 1911 with the purchase of the first Navy airplane. There's a few things that happened before that. Glenn Curtiss built some airplanes and then got his demonstration pilot to take one off of a ship that had a temporary tech in Chesapeake Bay in 1910. As USS Birmingham, and then he demonstrated the ability to have an airplane land and then take off from a ship 2 months later in San Francisco Bay with the same pilot, a guy by the name of Eugene Elon, off another ship called the USS Pennsylvania. So those are a couple of things that got naval aviation, people thinking about naval aviation. But the real kicker was a demonstration where Glenn Curtiss himself landed a Curtiss tractor, which is an airplane with a propeller that's in the front as opposed to in the back, which is unusual for Curtiss airplanes. And it landed next to USS Pennsylvania in San Diego Bay in February of 1911. And that is what got the funds released to buy the first airplane in May. And that airplane was delivered to the Navy in July 1st of 1911. So our official birth date of naval aviation is May 8th. It's the day we said, yep, here's the funds to go buy the airplane.
Oh, okay. And these were actually seaplanes, right? They weren't taking off and landing on the deck.
No, they were called hydro aeroplanes or hydros. And they typically had a central pontoon, a couple of outrigger pontoons on the wingtips. The Navy's first airplane, believe it or not, had retractable landing gear. It was more for beaching than for landing, so they could roll it up onto the land after they landed in the water. So, but, you know, the technology was already starting to evolve back then, so they were thinking ahead at every instance. But really, the reason that that airplane that landed next to the Pennsylvania in the water was the decisive factor is because we didn't have aircraft carriers in 1911. We didn't get our first one until 1922. So we had to be able to operate airplanes with the Navy at the time. And that's why building an airplane that could operate with a battleship or a cruiser was so important. And that's what got the funds released.
Okay. So as early as 1922, you had an aircraft carrier. What kind of aircraft were operating then?
Well, what happened was there was a ship called the USS Jupiter. It was a collier. It was actually kind of a trend-setting ship. I believe it was the first that had new propulsion other than coal. Well, it was a coal ship, actually. It was a ship that delivered coal to other ships. But it was called the Jupiter. In 1921, that ship was converted with a flat flight deck and recommissioned as the USS Langley. And that ship was the Navy's first aircraft carrier. And it kind of proved the concept. It wasn't something that we could really take to war. It wasn't fast. It was pretty slow. Wasn't purpose-built as an airplane-carrying ship. But it really proved that, yes, we could take airplanes, land them, take them off, and operate them around a ship with a flight deck.
Wow. And what kind of airplanes were operating then?
Well, the first airplane to land on the Langley was an Aeromarine 39B, which had a small eight-cylinder engine, almost like a train. I would classify it as a trainer. Very, very underpowered. But then the Vaught VE-7, which was one of the Navy's first major airplanes, and this is around, again, 1922, was operated and then performed the first takeoff. Earlier than the landing, but sometime I believe it was in October of 1922.
Okay, so things have come a long way now, and it's 100 years later, and what kind of things are you doing this year to celebrate this anniversary?
We kicked off the centennial year in February 12th of 2011 with a open house at Naval Air Station North Island and a parade of flight. So we had about 80 aircraft on display at North Island, including 19 of our retro painted aircraft, which are very unique, and then a parade of flight with about 190 airplanes. The primary part of the parade of flight kicked off with the Blue Angels six-ship Delta formation, and then a parade of heritage up through the modern day. But about 160 airplanes, and then about 36 airplanes flew over in a slightly different direction. The whole air wing that participated from the USS Stennis flew over in a 36-ship flight. And that was great. But as we go on through the year, we're piggybacking on the air show season. You know, the International Council of Air Show designated air shows. We picked 32 of those to concentrate resources on Blue Angels, heritage aircraft, flag officers to speak, things like that. But we're about just under halfway through that 32 event timeline right now.
Okay, and you said you had 160 airplanes in the air that was all at once?
Yeah, we had, it was actually 198 airplane parade.
Wow.
And it was pretty impressive. They came north from the South Bay area of San Diego and then up around Point Loma and exited out the channel at Point Loma. The last piece of it was 36 airplanes from the USS Stennis.
Wow, that's impressive. So so what are a couple of the big events you have coming up? And then I know you have a big plans for Air Venture in July.
Right. Air Venture is one of them. The Miramar Air Show, certainly every year is big. This year will be no exception. And as we move into the Marines' 100th anniversary of airplanes next year. And then Oceana, the Naval Air Station there, will have a big show. And then the final air show of the season is typically the Blue Angels homecoming second week and in November. And that will likely be a fairly big air show with a lot of participation.
Okay, and what is the status of the Blue Angels now? Do you know? Are they going to be flying again?
I believe they're. I can't remember what show they're at this week, but I believe that they start flying again this coming weekend.
Oh, okay, great.
I can look it up, but yeah. I think this is where they start again.
Oh, okay, so. Thanks. Mm-hmm. And could you give me just a little more detail about what is in the works for Air Venture? Because I think there's events going on all week long.
Well, we're planning on having the Chief of Naval Operations there and the Commander of Naval Air Forces, Vice Admiral Myers, for a part of the week. Part of the week we'll have our Director of the Centennial be there, Rear Admiral Patrick McGrath. And then the Chief of the Naval Air Reserves will be there one to two or three days. Astronaut Captain Kay Heyer will be there, working with the Women's SOAR folks. She's the keynote speaker for the Women's SOAR. And we'll have as many of our what we call heritage paint project aircraft as we can get up there, which if you would like me, I can explain what that is.
Yeah, that would be great.
What we did, we took 27 airplanes this year and we painted them, instead of painting them gray and their standard camouflage, we took them and as they came through a scheduled rework period, we painted them in heritage markings. So, for instance, we have an F-18 or several F-18s painted like Grumman Hellcats and Vought Corsairs from World War II, the same specification paint colors as those World War II aircraft. And we went all through naval aviation's history. We have a helicopter, a Jet Ranger, painted up in the 1914 markings of the first combat mission, which was Lieutenant Bellinger in a Curtiss AB-3 flying boat. So 27 of these airplanes all over the country, painted literally all over the world. One was painted in Japan. One was painted brand new at the Beechcraft factory, Hawker Beechcraft in Wichita. But these airplanes are catching the attention of the collectors, the modelers, the photographers because they're unique paint jobs. And we're hoping to have as many of those at Air Venture as we can. And that all depends on availability, maintenance schedules, of course, operational requirements and needs to train pilots and things like that. But we're certainly going to push to get as many of those as we can to Air Venture and to actually go to the other shows, too.
So this summer is a great opportunity for people to get out and see a lot of really unique airplanes and learn something about the 100-year history of aviation in the Navy. And if people want to learn more about this, how would they do that?
Well, we have a website. It's www.navy.mil/flynavy. If you follow us on Facebook, it's Naval Air Forces. If you type that into the search string, you will see the Centennial logo, and that's the place to go to find out a little bit more. If you go to our website, however, we also have a quarterly magazine that I'm the editor of. I've been putting it out since 2009. It's got a lot of interesting things. It's got pictures of the retros. There's also a PDF that's got the whole retro paint project in it. Some other downloadables and interesting tidbits on naval aviation history and things like that.
Oh, that sounds great. Thank you. And is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I tell you, it's been an interesting year. It's been a fun year. Exciting. We look forward to a successful conclusion in the end of the year. I'm kind of proud to say that the Navy and its sister services, the Marine Corps and the Coast Guard, are the first to 100 in rapid succession. So we're excited about that, and we just want to make sure that the aviation enthusiasts and the general public are aware of the contributions that naval aviation has made. You look across the spectrum of what we've done. We explored the North and South Poles. We surveyed Alaska. First guy on the moon was a naval aviator. The first man in space from the United States is a naval aviator. The last shuttle commander will be a naval aviator. The list goes on of who's who and in the socio-economic fabric of America and how naval aviation has fared into that, and it's pretty impressive. It's bits and pieces, but they're essential mm-hmm. pieces.
Well, that's great. That is an impressive history, and look forward to hearing more about it at Air Venture and all these other events. And thanks again for your time, Captain. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and you have a great day.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.